Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's April 13th, 2020, live to be broadcast Wednesday, April 15th, 2020. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine while live, you can comment below on Facebook Live and also call into Facebook Live. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. So, more and more stuff, as you know, it's really hard to talk about anything having to do with health and natural medicine without also talking about the coronavirus. So we're going to continue to talk about what the latest situations are and things that have come to me that are interesting. And, you know, I'm trying to be a little bit of a calm in the midst of the storm. There are a lot of things to not be calm about, unfortunately. If you read things about what's going on in the hospitals that are swamped and overwhelmed with people being intubated, it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking. And my hearts go out to them. Lots of love and healing and extra heroic energy to all of the people on the front lines that are helping people who are actually very, very ill with this virus. The way that you go down is very difficult. It's very harsh, and it's heartbreaking because we're trying not to spread this virus. So people have to say goodbye to their families before they're intubated. And once they're intubated and put on ventilators, they may not come back. It's just a really heartrending, heartbreaking, scary thing. And yet here in Eastern Connecticut, we seem to have been spared the excesses of this virus. There's still not a lot of confirmed cases in this part of the state. So that's heartening. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to come out this way, because one of the things that is helping it not to spread so quickly here is that we are paying attention. It is generally easier to physically distance in this part of the state. So because we live a little bit further apart from each other, we have open spaces. A lot of us have large backyards. So there are places to stay away from each other. And then even though it's sad to not spend time with your friends and loved ones, you still have the great expanses of nature that you can spend time on. People who live on large farms, you know, they have a lot of space to be in. So it's not nearly as harsh as for people who live in the city and really have to stay. They have to stay inside, or, you know, go out for only essential trips, which we're doing too. But, you know, staying home here is not so bad. So if you are in a situation where staying home is not so bad, please feel very blessed. There are populations who this is hitting very hard. One of the things we've heard in the last week is that the coronavirus is affecting people of color in greater numbers than other people, that there are percentages where, for example, the city of Detroit has roughly a 20% population African American, and 68% of the deaths are in the African American population. So why is that going on? Often it's likely that these are people who are hourly workers. They're essential workers. They don't have the ability to stay home. And they live in close quarters. They have to travel on public transportation, and they tend to have pre-existing conditions that are related to socioeconomic stress. They are related to whether they're able to get nutritious food. Socioeconomic stresses will bring on more cardiovascular disease, more lung disease, more digestive disease. If you already are inflamed going into this, you have a worse shot at it. I watched the video where Ellen DeGeneres interviewed Pink, the rock star, the pop star, and it was heartrending to watch her talking about it because Pink, interestingly, she had childhood asthma. And she said that she didn't need to use a nebulizer. You know what a nebulizer is? Nebulizer is it's a breathing treatment, and anyone can get it. When I had my bronchitis in February, I received a nebulizer treatment at the walk-in. And what it is you get a little container. The little container has liquid medicine in it. In my case, it had ipratropium and albuterol. And ipratropium is, it's a cholinergic antagonist. And what that does, it just dries up secretions. That's basically what it's in there for. And then the albuterol is a bronchodilator. So that's commonly when you get an immediate nebulizer, that's what you get. Some people will have to take nebulizers that have steroids in them and they calm inflammation. But if you're having an acute one just to calm secretions and open your lungs, then you're going to get the nebulizer. And it'll often have just albuterol or it'll have that blend albuterol and ipratropium. When I took that, it was very nice. Anyway, so Pink had to use a nebulizer for the first time since she was 10 years old, and Pink is 40. And so when her son got sick first, they started to quarantine on March 11th. They started to stay home and stay safe, or whatever their version of it is, wherever they live. They started staying home on March 11th, and then her son started to feel symptoms. And her son is 3. He started to get symptomatic. And, you know, she's like, oh, well, he probably has a little cold because they get sick all the time. And then he started to get more severe symptoms. He had nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. He had a cough. He had high fevers. He would spike fevers of 103, and his illness would rise and it would go up and down. And Pink didn't understand it because she said, I thought this spared the young ones. That's what they were telling us. This is not what we were expecting. And then 3 days into his illness, she became symptomatic and she started to have headaches and nausea. And then, and she said they were all symptoms that they weren't telling us to look for, which was interesting. She never got a fever, but then she had one episode where she woke up in the middle of the night and she couldn't breathe. And she said that all the crazy things she had done in her life, this is how it ends? Just kind of horrific and funny at the same time. Thank God Pink and her son got through it. Another interesting thing she said is that she had gotten tested for the coronavirus and she recognizes that she has privilege and that she was able to get that test because she is privileged. And she said, people were angry at her. She had friends who did not have her privilege, who were not able to get tests. And she said, you know what? You should be angry. Why aren't there more tests? Why isn't there? Why can't regular people just get tested readily at this point? You should be angry about that. The other thing she said that is that if you have a 3-year-old child that you're trying to protect and somebody said, here's a test that can tell you what's going on, you're going to refuse it? No, you're not going to refuse it. She used stronger language than that. She's going to donate $1 million to the hospital that her mother worked in Philadelphia. It's a more socioeconomically depressed hospital, and she's donating money to it to help with the support coronavirus efforts there. So go Pink. So this was hard to hear because this was a 40-year-old woman in good health, has mm-hmm. the best medical care. She does have a history of asthma, although she didn't have severe asthma since she was a child. And for the first time, she did have breathing problems. So she probably does have some low-grade lung inflammation and lung damage. So she might have been a little bit more susceptible to it. And the other thing was her child caught it, and she wasn't going to be away from her child. So she got sick. She also has a husband and a daughter, and the husband and daughter were fine. They may have gotten illness, but they didn't get sick. So interesting how this can go. So one of the things we learn here is that you don't have to be elderly or severely compromised to get sick. So one of the things to remind you about is that all of this staying home and staying out of the public and wearing masks and all of the harsh things that we're doing, I believe in this end of the state, they're working. We don't have a severe illness. They're talking about the disease spiking sometime in the next week, that the peak is going to come. And of course, then we have to go down the other side of the peak. So I'm just hoping that the peak that it peaks soon so that less people can get sick. And then we can start. And the other thing we need to do is we need to start getting antibody testing so that we know who's had it and who hasn't. So we know who to focus on. That's just something that has been sorely lacking in this country. So now let's have a chat about chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. I may have talked about it some last week because it's been pushed even more. And so one of the things that you'll see is there are people who are pushing natural medicine in terms of helping with the coronavirus and also pushing treatments. There is no one treatment right now that is definitively proven to fight this coronavirus. Anything that we're doing is either being studied or we're using it because it makes sense to use. So there's nothing out there that I can say to you with confidence, this is going to kill your coronavirus. This is going to protect you from coronavirus. I don't know for sure. I'm using what I know about natural medicine and what I know about medicine in general to suggest things and talk about why people are using things and why they're thinking about certain drugs. So you can't say with certainty that anything protects, but there are still things that you can do. And that is, I still think it's a good idea to clean your nose. I did read one source that said, if you clean your nose, you could be driving the virus deeper into your nose. I don't believe that because everything that I've seen, when people use neti pots or do nasal lavage, they're less likely to get sick, number one, and number two, if they are sick, they get better. They get better faster. And just makes sense that if you're sending an antimicrobial into your nose, if you're sending, you know, grapefruit seed extract or xylitol, which breaks down biofilms, or if you're sending just salt into your nose, it's going to clean things out and reduce inflammation. You're mechanically washing, you are getting rid of microorganisms, and you're reducing inflammation. So that's going to do something for you. Gargling certainly can be helpful because if viruses are collecting at the back of your throat, that in that case, you're not pushing anything backwards because you're gargling, you're giving a good gargle, and then you're spitting everything out. It might not be a bad idea after you gargle to rinse your mouth out because whatever was in the sputum that's collected at the back of your throat could theoretically have virus in it. So now you spit it out. So you might as well give one more rinse before you. So you gargle and then you swish your mouth with salt water and then spit it out. I would say that after you do that, it's probably a really good idea to use some kind of a throat spray. And I like to use herbal throat spray. So an herbal throat spray might have things like echinacea, golden seal, propolis. Those are big three, echinacea, golden seal, and propolis. It might also have licorice and other antivirals in it, depending on the brand that you get. But after you've gargled, you do a throat spray. And after you do the throat spray, if you can get them, you can get a zinc lozenge. And then you suck on the zinc lozenge. And hopefully you find a zinc lozenge that doesn't give you an upset tummy. You suck on that zinc lozenge and then don't have anything by mouth for at least 15 minutes. And then after 15 minutes, you can have stuff by mouth because that zinc lozenge is going to work. Zinc topically is directly antiviral. So will it kill this coronavirus? I don't know. But does it kill viruses? Yes, that we do know. So it makes sense to do. And then the other thing to do is if you find that zinc gives you an upset tummy before you hit that zinc lozenge, have ginger something, preferably ginger without sugar. I have these great chewable tablets that are sweetened with xylitol and stevia. They're chewable ginger tablets. You could do a teaspoon of ginger powder. I don't care. Any port in a storm. If you can get fresh ginger root, you can chew on a piece of fresh ginger root. You can take a few sips of ginger tea or even a cupful of ginger tea, just or a few swigs of ginger tea before you take the zinc lozenge, and then you'll be a little less likely to get an upset tummy for it. Because after you take that zinc lozenge, you don't want to put anything in your mouth for 15 minutes. So if you tend to get an upset tummy from zinc, it's a good idea to stop that before you go. All right. So there's that. So let's move on to, I watched a very interesting video And big shout out and love to Eric Naputi, who is the chiropractor from St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
That some of my friends were posting about him, and they were posting his videos. And I find him, and lots of love to him. I do not in any way mean to disparage him. He's very animated, and he's very emotional, and he's very passionate. And it's because he really, really cares about helping people to protect them against the coronavirus. He is very convinced that the things that he does works. And I think that's great. And really, the things that he was talking about, he talked about vitamin C, he talked about chloroquine and azithromycin, he talked about vitamins A and D and zinc, and everything he talked about, I pretty much agree that they are useful. He also talked about getting adjusted regularly, which is not a bad idea. He talked about when you get a chiropractic adjustment, you are realigning your body so that your entire nervous system works in a more healthful way. And he's right about that. So if you have a chiropractor and the chiropractor is still seeing patients, as long as the chiropractor is using good, you know, hyper-cleaning procedures, mine is, and I'm still going, and I help my chiropractor wipe down the table when we're done. And then, of course, we chat and we exchange information afterwards. So getting adjusted is a really good idea. Again, if you have confidence in your acupuncturist, if your acupuncturist is still seeing clients, as long as they're using good cleaning procedures, getting acupuncture is a great idea. And my acupuncturist is doing points for the immune system, and I'm going to go have acupuncture today. So that's a really good one. If you don't feel comfortable or confident going into your doctor's office, in general, you don't have to do that. And you can still get advice from your doctor because telehealth is available. And for many physicians and certainly naturopathic physicians, telehealth is available and it's covered by your insurance. So it's a good idea to call and get some advice right now. But any kind of basic health treatments that you can do are going to be helpful. So, if you see somebody who's ranting and you're a little taken aback by their passion, feel free to fact check what they're saying. And so I know that some people couldn't sit through Dr. Napute's videos because he was so, how shall we say, in your face.
It was very intense.
It was very intense. I know. And I saw somebody posting, I could only watch 10 minutes of this. And again, nothing against the man. He's really passionate. And the things that he's recommending are useful. It's very easy to have a knee-jerk reaction right now to anything that you hear because we're all in a heightened state. We're all afraid. We're all in a place where we don't know how this is going to go. We don't know if it's going to hit us. If we hit us, is it going to be a mild case? Is it going to be serious disease? We don't know when we're going to get antibody tests. So we all have to be vigilant now. And we're all at some level of hypervigilant. I have a saying, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but I believe that if you're not bothered by the global pandemic right now, you're either oblivious, you lack empathy, or you're lying. And again, I don't mean to offend anybody by that, but the thing is, how can you not be affected by this? I mean, there are people who are dying, and they're dying really scary deaths. And when you understand the science of how they're dying, it's that much scarier. You know what people have to do, and what happens to you. I had a patient not too long ago who thought maybe he had had it, and the patient said that when he was in the throes of it and he was coughing. Now this was a patient who never needed to go to the hospital, and he wound up surviving happily, and he's fine now. So no worries. Anyway, but this patient described when he was in the throes of his bronchitis and he was coughing, he felt that he could not cough anything up. The cough was very dry, and he said to his wife, "I want to die." And this is a person who is not someone who usually has thoughts like that. And I said to him, I don't think it's really that you wanted to die. I know that having the cough was very upsetting and all, and maybe you felt that way in the moment. But the reason he really felt that way is because the way this virus works, it goes and it attaches itself to cells in your alveoli, which are the gas exchange centers in your lungs. And what the other thing that we're seeing is that pulmonologists are looking at this and they're finding out that the patients have no trouble breathing. They don't have any problem with their nerves. Like when you have polio, your accessory muscles of breathing don't work because you have nerve damage. You have neurological decay. So you can't, the muscles that help you with your breathing in and out don't work, or they don't work properly. That's why you have to be on a ventilator. That's not what's going on with these people. What's going on is their breathing muscles and nerves work fine. It's their gas exchange that's messed up. And what he's seeing is that people's oxygen levels are going down and they look like they're sitting at 14,000 feet. So wow. they're becoming hypoxic. Exactly. So he suggested that the protocols that they're using to ventilate people, what people need, they don't need high pressure with normal oxygen. They need lower pressure with higher oxygen levels. The people need oxygen more than they need to be ventilated. That's what's going on. So, and he's working on trying to change the protocols. And he said that he's seen hospitals where they are doing a case-by-case, instead of using a protocol, change the protocol based on the person and the case and what's going on, that they have better outcomes. So that's something to think about. We hope that pulmonologists pay heed to that, that this is a hypoxia deal. It's not a thing where people, because there isn't time for people to have neurodegeneration. This virus doesn't cause neurodegeneration. This virus causes hypoxia. It attaches to lung cells. It attaches to breathing cells. And unfortunately, it also attaches to cells in other organs of the body and causes damage. All right. So in terms of the things that Dr. Naputi was recommending, he was recommending a lot of the same things I've been recommending. Like I said, I talked about the zinc lozenge that you want to, and when you do zinc, it is a good idea to use the lozenge because you're going to get direct antiviral activity in your throat. That's a good thing to do. And then you're going to swallow the lozenge, and then you're going to get some antiviral activity from the zinc as it goes into your body. Dr. Naputi was recommending really high doses of zinc, like 30, 50 milligrams several times a day. I don't know if it's necessary to do that much zinc. And if you do, you have to back it up with copper. So roughly 15 milligrams of zinc requires 1 milligram of copper to keep your zinc-copper balance. So getting zinc-copper compounds, that is a good idea. The other thing that's happening, of course, is if you try to go buy zinc anywhere, it's hard to find. All of the immune things that people are running, people are hoarding, people are panic buying, they're panic buying immune things too. The other things we're recommending vitamin A. Vitamin A is a great antiviral in general. So it helps to fight viruses. It helps with the health of cells. So if you have a healthier cell, it's going to be more impervious to any kind of virus. And vitamin A has been studied to be helpful for other viruses. So if you can take oral vitamin A, I am doing that. I'm taking a vitamin A. I'm taking an emulsified vitamin A beta carotene combo. Vitamin C is also thought to be helpful. And vitamin C, people are buying up vitamin C like crazy. If you can't find vitamin C, you can eat your vitamin C. So you can eat it in kiwi fruit, strawberries. You can easily get kiwi fruit and strawberries in the stores. You can get peppers. You can get citrus. You can get broccoli and Brussels sprouts. And you can get fresh leafy greens. All of those things are going to have vitamin C in them for you. If you have kidney stones, you have, like me, I had a kidney stone last December. If you had calcium oxalate kidney stones, it's concerning to take more than, say, a gram a day of oral vitamin C pills. You can eat vitamin C in foods. There doesn't seem to be an association between eating high vitamin C foods and increased kidney stones. But taking vitamin C pills, the issue is that when you take a lot of vitamin C, when you take vitamin C in a pill, you're hitting yourself with pure vitamin C, and now your blood level of vitamin C is going to spike. When you eat an orange, You've got the vitamin C. You don't have as much all at once. You've got bioflavonoids. You've got fiber. You've got, and what you basically got is you've got a sustained release of vitamin C. So your body's not going to be rushing to assimilate all this vitamin C and excreting the excess in your urine. Then that's the problem. When you excrete the excess vitamin C in your urine, it gets excreted as oxalate. And if you excrete too much vitamin C as oxalate and you're not well hydrated, that can you can run into getting a kidney stone. Ow. Those are no fun. And the other thing you want to do, kidney stone could put you in the emergency room. And you don't want to go in the emergency room.
No. No. You want to stay out of there as much as you possibly can.
Yes.
Right.
So that's vitamin C. Vitamin D, we're recommending. Vitamin D puts your immune system in a level of higher surveillance. And vitamin D is helpful. But right now, if you tried to go outside and get vitamin D with that beautiful sunny weather that we're having right now, you're not going to do a very good job. So it's still a good idea to take vitamin D. It's a really great idea to get outside right now as much as you can. Of course, going outside right now, we're going to still tend to be covered up. You're not going to make a lot of vitamin D. So taking vitamin D is a good idea. There is a concern that vitamin D could raise your cytokines. And remember that the cytokine storm is part of the issue with this virus. And so there's a recommendation to stop your vitamin C if you actually get sick. And then there's other things you could take if you actually get sick. I would still do it. And elderberry, as we've talked about, is controversial because it's thought to be able to raise cytokines. I'm taking it right now. If God forbid I do get sick, I might choose to go another way. And there are other herbs that you can take that can be helpful. The mushroom extracts, and astragalus and olive leaf. I'm a big fan of olive leaf. I'm going to keep taking my olive leaf. There's also recommendations for certain Chinese antivirals like Isatis and Lonicera and jujube, which is goji berries. By the way, you can eat goji berries. They're really delicious, and you're going to get some antiviral and antioxidant benefit from those. Eating really well is one of the best things you can do. People, unfortunately, are stress eating and stress drinking right now. So,
They are.
All I can say is to be careful about that. I heard people joking. I was listening to the radio. People were joking about the COVID-15, like the college 15. The people are gaining weight because they're sitting around eating. And people who tend to eat when they're stressed are eating. And I know myself, I'm looking at things that are treats. I'm like, I'm feeling sad. I'd like a muffin. So I get the muffin.
Or chocolate.
Mm. I know. Well, and, and we just had Passover. It's still Passover. And we just had Easter Sunday. And I wasn't going to let Ron, go through Easter without a chocolate bunny. So the chocolate bunnies are in the house now.
Yay, chocolate bunnies.
Oh, dear.
And peeps.
Oh, my goodness. Peeps. So the thing is, you have to be careful with that stuff because sugar is really not a good thing for your immune system. Anything, because sugar will suppress your immune system and it increases inflammation. And if you find that you are able to, if you find that you're able to stay away from sugar, you're going to find that inflammatory stuff is going to get better. If you can find yourself doing a sugar fast where you just stop eating sweets, or even if you cut down drastically, say you like to have a cup of coffee or tea a day, and you put a teaspoon of sugar in that, but you don't eat any other sugar, and you just eat natural sugars instead, like you just eat fruit, and fruit is going to be good for you right now as long as you don't overdo it. I wouldn't say eat, 10 pieces of fruit a day, but if you're eating a lot of produce, if you're eating a lot of vegetables and good clean protein and nuts and seeds, if you're not allergic to those, and then you have two or three servings of fruit in a day, I think that's just fine, especially if you're getting exercise. And that's going to get you your vitamin C without getting you into kidney stones. And it's going to get you all kinds of other phytonutrients as well. The healthier you can get yourself during this time, the less likely you are to get sick. And the less likely you're, if you get sick, are you to have severe disease. So I wanted to talk about that. And that's the other thing. If you hear of something, and if you hear of something that's being touted as the best, latest, greatest thing, and you want to run it by me, hit me up on, you can hit me up on my Facebook page at Fran Storch ND, and I'll be happy to answer the questions for you. And obviously, if you're, if you have a question like that right now, go ahead and ask it on the Facebook Live and I can answer it. Because if you, if you're watching us on Facebook Live, we can answer your questions. Well, that's the only way you would be listening to me right now if it's live, because we're not on the radio right now.
But we will be on the radio
on Wednesday.
Right.
And this Facebook Live is going to sit on my page, so you can ask questions of it at any time, and you can also message me through at Fran Storch ND. All right, so let's look at this. Apeiron Biologics, which is a biotech company in Vienna, Austria, is working on a drug called APN1. However, do I have a question?
No.
No.
Do you want me to pull that up for you?
Oh, is that, can I?
I can.
Oh.
Let me do it.
I can't. All right. Yes. All right. So we're going to get some information about this drug. All right. So there's a drug that's being that's being studied that's thought to be able to block the early stages of COVID-19, and it's called APN01, because you know it's made by this company. That's probably even the early name of this drug. So it's an international team. It's led by the University of British Columbia researcher Dr. Joseph Penninger, and it's a trial drug that effectively blocks the cellular door that SARS-CoV uses to infect its hosts. So that's the direction that we're going. That's where a lot of the drugs, how the drugs work that are thought to be helpful for this virus. You see, the virus, in order to be able to live and replicate, it has to get into the cells. And the way that it does that is there are endosomes, there are things inside your cells, they're little organelles that have various functions inside your cells, and particularly inside the lung cells, where the virus gets in, and then they replicate themselves. Their job is only to replicate themselves. All a virus is a little package of DNA or RNA surrounded by a fat. This virus has a fatty coat. Other viruses have protein coats. This one happens to have a lipid coat, a fatty coat. And that's why if it's on your hands and you use soap and water, that's why soap and water for this virus is better than alcohol, because soap gets rid of fatty things, and you literally break up the virus. So anyway, the idea of this drug, it's doing something that's similar to the way that both chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, and possibly azithromycin, which is also an antibiotic, helps the viruses, prevents the viruses from getting into the cells. There is a blockage of the site in the cell where the virus injects its RNA so that it can replicate. And that's what they're looking at for this drug. And they're hopeful for it, that this will be helpful. Obviously, with natural medicine, we want to try to not let it get that far, so it's trying to get into your cells. And that's where you're netting, your neti pots and your gargling and your other immune things, that you want to have the door closed a lot further back. Once it gets into your lungs, you're in a much more difficult situation. And the other thing is you have to have a lot of ACE2 proteins. So that, let's talk about the ACE2 proteins that's on here.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, okay. So ACE stands for, not the hardware store. It stands for angiotensin converting enzyme 2. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, when I learned about angiotensin converting enzyme, what it is, we learned about how it's in the kidneys. And then there are ACE2 receptors in the kidneys. They're in the heart. And they're apparently, I'm pretty sure they're in the digestive system too, because people get digestive illness with this too. But they're definitely in your heart, and they're definitely in your lungs. And the lungs are where this disease hits. So angiotensin converting enzyme, what it is in your kidneys anyway, you have the renin-angiotensin system. So it's how you maintain water balance in your body. So in anywhere you have angiotensin converting enzyme able to bond, you have a situation where if there's not enough water in the tissue, you're going to activate the renin system. So renin's going to be made. You're going to get receptors that are like, hey, we're a little dehydrated here. Renin is going to be upregulated. And then renin gets converted to angiotensin by angiotensin converting enzyme 1. It's angiotensin converting enzyme converts it to angiotensin 1. And then angiotensin 1 gets converted to angiotensin converting enzyme 2. No, to angiotensin 2, again by angiotensin converting enzyme. And then angiotensin 2 gets converted to aldosterone. And aldosterone's job is to hold on to sodium, so you hold on to water. And that's how we, so when people have high blood pressure, we will work with that pathway. If you're taking a diuretic, you're going to get rid of extra sodium so that water will follow, because sodium holds on to water. If your kidneys feel like they're dehydrated, they're going to want to hold on to more water, and the sodium is going to help them to do that. So if you don't go through that whole angiotensin system, you're not going to be holding on to as much sodium. Likewise, if you simply have a loop diuretic like hydrochlorothiazide, you're not going to be holding on to most minerals, including sodium. So again, you're not going to be holding on to water. So even though your renin angiotensin system is trying to hold on to that sodium, there's no sodium to hold on to. Oh, well. And then your blood pressure can go down. So that's how those blood pressure drugs work. This protein, which is on the surface of the cell membrane, there are receptors for this in the lungs. And that in living organisms, it's the key receptor for this virus. This virus attaches to a receptor for this angiotensin converting enzyme. So that is why these ACE2 receptors are in your lungs, they're in your kidneys, they're in your cardiovascular system. And so that's why you can get damage to any or all of those organs. And even if you recover from this virus, you can have organ damage. That like permanent or either semi-permanent or even permanent organ damage. So they're finding people are getting, illnesses after recovering that are related to organ damage. So what this drug does is it blocks APN-01, which is human recombinant soluble angiotensin converting enzyme 2, is soon to be tested in clinical trials by this Aperion. And it blocks, basically what it does is it blocks the virus from bonding to the ACE2 receptors. It's an angiotensin 2 receptor blocker. So it's like an ARB, but it's specific to the ACE2 receptor so that the drug can't bond. Are there going to be side effects? I don't think they know yet. I think they're only at the level of cell cultures. And this takes a long time because they have to figure out if it really works, and then they have to start doing animal trials, and then they have to start doing clinical trials. So will this drug be helpful? And again, in terms of natural medicine, it's a good idea. A drug like this is very specific, and it's not available right now. So that's why doing the surveillance and doing our distancing and wearing your masks and all of the things that we're doing, keeping yourself healthy, reducing your stress. It's so hard to keep your stress down. It is really, really difficult to do because this is very stressful, and you can't, everywhere you look, it's coronavirus. I mean, you go out, and even if you just go out in public, you see people in masks. You can't get away from it.
Yeah.
You drive down the street and people are doing the very kind thing of putting up signs thanking essential workers for keeping things going. So you cannot get away from it. And so people are seeing these things, and you just can't help but be affected by it. And if you're a compassionate person, you feel for the people who are in the front lines, you feel for the people who are sick, you feel for the people who love people who are sick, the people who are dying without their loved ones by their sides. It can't not affect you. And then, of course, there's the socioeconomic difficulty of this virus. People who are whose health is going to be affected very, severely by the fact that they're so under socioeconomic stress, that they're under stress because they don't have money or they don't have their jobs. They don't know when they're going to be able to go back to work. There's so many stressors around this. And then the other thing is you have to be careful about your consumption of media, because consuming media is very stressful.
Yes, it
and
is.
On the one hand, you want to be informed about what's going on. And on the other hand, it's very stressful to watch. And if one of the things you need to do is reduce your stress, watching the media is stressful. And how much of watching the media is the stress of watching the media is because the information is stressful. It absolutely is. And the other piece is that they make it very dramatic, so you'll keep watching it. And how much of that is going on? I mean, a dramatic show brings in advertising dollars.
Yes, it
so,
does.
You're going to be sitting there and watching, and you're going to be advertised to over and over. If you're sitting on Facebook, you're going to be advertised over and over for the things you like shoes and, nice shirts and stuff like that. Or anything that you looked for. You're like, you know what? I think I need an extra Bluetooth speaker. So I'm going to just grab one off the internet. And now I'm being inundated with ads for Bluetooth speakers of all kinds.
Big Brother Bluetooth, Google is watching.
Yeah, I know.
So be careful.
I know. So should you wear a mask? We're wearing masks. When we go out in public, we're wearing masks.
Yeah, we are.
I am absolutely wearing a mask when I see patients. Mind you, I'm not seeing a lot of patients, which is a good thing. I would say that this week coming, most of my patients are opting for telehealth, which is great.
That's great.
And your patients are, your doctors are waiting for you now to have telehealth visits. And that's a really nice thing. So you don't feel like you have to go into the doctor's office because you can have telehealth visits. And quite honestly, we do have some patients who are like, I'd really rather come in. I'm going to say to you, why not consider not being that person? Be that person who's like, I'd like a telehealth visit. Because the less exposure that we get, the less exposure you get, the sure. less spread there is. If you really want to talk to your doctor and make sure that they get paid, it's a good idea to do telehealth. It's a kind thing to do. It's a smart thing to do. And it's very helpful. And it also gives us practice using all those nifty apps.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there you go. And there are a lot of them.
And
out
right
there now,
I had four apps ready to go, and then a patient called and said, "Could you use this other one?" And I said, "All right, I'll use
now
the other
she
one."
Has five.
Now I have five. It's true. It wasn't. And the thing is, HIPAA has been relaxed so that you can use any non-public facing app to do your telehealth. So it's very easy. It's not like you have to download anything special. You can use something that's already on your phone, tablet, or computer. So that's really that's a really good thing. So in terms of the masks, the deal with masks is that masks are going to help to protect you from touching your face. If you are in a place like if you're going to the grocery store, there could be droplets hanging in the air. Obviously, when you're in the grocery store, you're going to try to physically distance from people. It's not going to be 100% in the grocery store, because a store like your local shops, your Big Y and your Stop and Shop and your ShopRite and your Price Chopper, people are shopping. I wonder if one of the reasons people are going to the supermarket is there's nothing else to do.
Right.
You know, they're going and they're shopping because... And we know that people are shopping because the people are still panic buying. You know, there is a really funny photo of me on my Facebook where I went into Stop and Shop and I went to the toilet paper aisle just to see. And it's so dystopian to look at the toilet paper aisle and see it cleaned out. It's not something I've ever seen in my lifetime.
No, it's weird. Because what are you doing with that toilet paper?
Stockpiling it. And it's crazy.
Why?
Because I don't know. Because it's a feeling of control. The problem is once one group starts hoarding, then you have to think about it too. Because now you have a stocking issue.
But there will be toilet paper next year.
I know.
And people are buying like a year's supply, sometimes a 3-year supply
I
of
think
toilet paper.
They're afraid,
I don't get it.
I don't know if they're afraid that the grocery stores are going to close. And so far, they haven't.
I would be more worried about food than I would toilet paper.
Sure. Right. And, you know, in terms of specific items, we're having somewhat more difficulty getting specific items in terms of food. But we're not at the point where we're having difficulty getting food. The trucks are still running. The grocery stores are still open. And they're still pretty well stocked with a lot of stuff. So we're trying not to hoard. However, I did go to the supermarket and I went to the very empty toilet paper aisle. And there was one package left. There was one package of toilet paper rolls left. And I'm like, oh.
She had the prize.
Oh, my God. I'm like, should
she
I
took
take
a photo
that?
And sent it to me.
I sent it to you. I posted it on Facebook. That post was so funny because here I am in my mask and I'm holding the last package of toilet paper rolls, standing in front of the sign that says only 2 per customer. That's going to be a historic photo. You know, that's going to remember this in the time of the pandemic. I got like 100 hits on that. You know, people commented very funny things underneath it. And then in terms of people liking it, noticing the post, like 100 hits on and on. Because it's just something, it's, you know, not because I'm so great. It's because it's something people can really relate to. I mean, toilet paper itself is now a meme. I can't stop people from hoarding. I wish you would, though. Please. And I have that nice big package now. And so we've got.
We're good to go for
we
a
don't
while.
Have, yeah. You're very funny. Yeah, but we are. We're going to be all right. And we've probably got at least a month's supply now. And I'm hoping that a month from now, people won't be hoarding as much. My friend Roy, my high school friend, one of the nice things is I'm spending more time on Facebook. And one of the reasons I'm doing that is because I'm connecting with my friends all over the world. And my friend Roy from high school lives with his husband in London. And so they're hunkered down in London. So it's really interesting to hear from him because he's talking about what's going on in London. And then my girlfriend, Rachel, she's up in Montreal. So I get to talk to her and hear from her. And she told me to read a book, the five spiritual, or was it the seven spiritual things? Anyway, it's a book by Starhawk. So I downloaded that and I'm going to read it and then talk about it with Rachel. I need to do a FaceTime with her, you know, some kind of a video chat with Rachel because she's up in Montreal and she lives by herself and we love her.
We need to figure out a way to tie this in too as far as the technology goes because I know we can pull people up and have them on the show.
Yeah.
I just haven't figured out how to do it yet. If anybody out there knows, please let us know.
And talk to him, yeah. So in terms of the masks, I think it just common sense dictates that if you're in the line of fire of somebody coughing or sneezing, you walk through a spray of droplets, you're not going to breathe them in as readily if your face is covered. And they know this in China. That's why you'll see, you know, we have about 10 to 12% Chinese nationals up at UConn. Those students are smart. They're walking around with their masks. It's kind of like they were wearing masks before we were. And we were like, why are they doing that? And now it's like, oh, we get it now. And so if you see Chinese nationals up in stores wearing masks, the first thing you should be thinking is respect. All right? And because, you know, they know what they're doing. And they live in a population. They come from a population where there's billions of people in their country. And that's the culture. And you can get fun masks. You can get masks with, you know, cute things on them. Or you can get high-tech masks. You can get masks that were meant for motorcycle riding. You can get masks with Lycra in them. But anything to cover your face, you're going to be less likely to get sick. Then CDC is recommending it.
And you are looking for cotton as the barrier. That's what they're recommending
okay.
as far as that goes.
That's nice because cotton is comfortable.
So
it's nice and soft.
So you see a lot of people that do like a designer mask.
Yeah.
And then what they'll do is they'll put a cotton in the inside.
Yeah.
And then I also saw another design where you could actually slide a piece of paper towel into the inside of the mask.
And then you change it up.
Change it out every time.
Yeah.
So people are getting really clever about this.
Yeah. I really think I need a mask to tie behind my head because mine keeps slipping. And when I'm wearing my mask, if I do a lot of talking while I'm wearing the mask, it comes off. So right. I think I need it to be, the mask needs to be tied behind my head right. up. Because when I'm in the pool and I'm wearing my goggles for swimming, I find that the goggles stay on better if it's up high on my head. And that's what I usually do.
We'll work on that today, okay?
We'll work on that today. Yeah. So I can, because
I really like your mask.
I like my masks. And I would like my masks to be, I have like, three now that I'm using, and they're really cute. They have really nice fabric. So thank you to Ginger Gaskell Grizzo for making two of my masks, and thanks to my sister-in-law Kathy Meniza for making my other mask. She made it out of Hawaiian sarong. It was beautiful, and I really love it.
She does love
it. She did. I love it. It's so pretty.
Yeah. It seems
all
to
right.
be your favorite.
So let's see. So we've got a few minutes left. I encourage you, if anybody has some questions for me, you can ask the questions on the Facebook Live and I can answer them for you. In the meantime, I'll just remind you about getting exercise. Exercise makes you feel so much better. And I really kind of forgot that I'm using exercise as an antidepressant and anti-anxiety. That there's definitely, there's definitely mental health issues in my family. And, I have a history of people in my family using medication to help their anxiety and depression. I don't take medication except for, healthy things that reduce inflammation and, essential fatty acids and things like that and magnesium. But I didn't realize how much I do use exercise as an antidepressant, because when I get exercise, my mental state is so much better. So even if you're feeling bad and you're feeling doom and gloomy and you're just really feeling it, you're feeling the harshness of the situation, getting exercise may make you feel better.
Yay, exercise.
It definitely does. Yesterday,
we got some good exercise.
Oh, yesterday. My goodness. We went for a bike ride that was really too long for you.
That's all right.
And,
I made
And I ran upstairs today after taking a good spin around. Let's see. I went to Richmond, Virginia, and I did
online.
I did the UCI
Virtual.
Course.
Right.
Yeah, I did the UCI course in Richmond, Virginia.
That's nice.
And then after that, I took an amazing ride around Central Park, and it blows my mind that I can go to Central Park and there's tons of people in Central Park, and I don't have to physically distance, and there's people from all over the world there, and they say hello. And we get ride-ons and like that. So, and then when I was done in Central Park, I turned it off and came upstairs. It's really amazing. Other things that I did, Carrie Jenkins teaches Butts and Guts through the Mansfield Community Center and some other things. And so last week I took her class. My friend Deb Fountain at Lifer Fitness is teaching online classes. And a lot of people are teaching classes either at no charge or by suggested donation. I also have NIA TV. So that's from NIA headquarters. And that's really fun because I get to do NIA with various black belt NIA instructors. And there's different ones that women who come from or people who come from around the world, plus my teacher, Debbie. And that's really fun that services like Beachbody and Daily Burn are having 2-week free trials. There and of course there are lots of indoor cycling apps like Zwift, Ruvi, Be Cool, Trainer Road, Sufferfest. There's loads to choose from, and of course you can still go outside. You have to be careful of going outside that you are physically distanced from people, and people are having some issues physically distancing in certain locations. And if you can get yourself outside when the weather isn't as nice, like when it's sunny but the wind is blowing, you're going to have more luck with that. You'll be able to physical distance more. I mean, we didn't see a lot of people when we were out yesterday.
No, hardly any at all.
There's definitely some wind.
Yeah.
We did see a couple of donkeys.
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
We did.
They
and
were cute.
You took pictures of them.
I've passed those donkeys a bazillion times because I'm usually on a bike ride with a lot of people and you're 10 miles out, so you want to get back.
Mm.
But I said, let's stop and take a picture with the donkeys because it was just me and Ron, and I could say that. And he stopped. So we took a picture with the donkeys. The donkeys were cute. So, so walking and hiking outdoors and cycling alone or with your quarantine. And what I mean by your quarantine is the people who you are quarantined with. That is, they live in your house with you, so you don't have to social distance them.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Right. Yeah. So,
that's my
right.
That's my head.
That's it. Yeah, it's good. So I wanna, and so I wanted to remind you about that. All right, so here, let me talk to you about a little bit more about that. Here, let's open that up.
It should just come up.
Yeah, and it'll just come up.
It'll
just come up.
Get a few more minutes.
Oh, or maybe it won't come up.
Oh.
That's okay.
This isn't supposed to happen.
No.
hang on. I think you just clicked on part of it. If you'd
That's
like.
Okay. I don't have to talk about it. Okay. It's important for you to maintain your exercise, whatever you're doing. And even if you don't feel like exercising, if you can just make yourself do it, once you get started, you'll feel better, and then you'll feel better altogether, and you'll be able to get some stuff done. You're just going to really, for me, it helps me, it helps to protect me from losing it. And I know other people feel the same way, that if you get exercise, you're just going to feel better in general. And by the way, exercise helps to support your immune system as long as you don't do it to excess. All right. So let's go to our last thing that I want to talk about today, which is kindness. Mm. And, one of the things that's going on is there's a lot of directives. There's a lot of government directives. There's a lot of societal directives right now in terms of how we've changed our lives with respect to this coronavirus. And one thing that goes on is if somebody is not following guidelines the way that someone else thinks that they should, people get judgy. And unless somebody's doing something that's really, really hurting somebody, maybe it's a good idea to just be kind to them. If you see a group of people and you think they're standing too close together and you want to say hello to them, maybe you should just do a friendly hello, but use the appropriate physical distancing, and they might follow suit. For example, there's controversy about whether you should be taking your grocery items out of the store and cleaning them. I have a friend who got called out by somebody in a parking lot because they chose to clean their groceries before they put them in their car. And one of the hardest things to do is to turn to somebody who's judging you and meet them where they're at and then turn it around and be kind to them. If you do that, you get your mitzvah points for the day, all right? So somebody is judgy to you, and say you walk into a store and you forgot your mask, and it's not a store where they're prohibiting you from going into the store with a mask, and somebody says something to you, why aren't you wearing a mask? And you'd be like, oh, yeah, I left my mask home. I was out and I just wanted to run in and run out. I'm going to be really careful. I'm going to be physically distanced. If I cough or sneeze, I'm going to use my elbow. But I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry if that bothered you. And I'll make sure to use my mask next time. That's a real, even if you don't believe it, that's a really hard thing to do, and you can turn it around. And then the next thing you could say to that person is, how are you doing? Because
check in on people.
People who say judgy things to you are scared. Remember that. Everybody's scared. We're scared. We're economically affected. We are affected by, we're afraid that we're going to get the virus. We're afraid that we don't know what's going to happen with the virus. We don't know what's going to happen in this situation. This not knowing and this unseen thing that affects us is very frightening. You don't know what's going to happen. And so everybody's scared. And what's the antidote for fear? I mean, it sounds cheesy, but the antidote for fear is love. And how you can do that in the moment is if somebody gets angry and judgy to you, you can meet them where they're at and you can say something like, I'll try to do better. And then ask them how they're doing and let them vent, let them rant. The kindest thing you can do right now is to listen to somebody and be there for somebody. you know, if, and the other thing is, like, if you know somebody who lives alone, and you can drive by their house or ride your bike or walk by their house, you can physically distance from them and have a nice chat with them. They can stay on their doorstep and you can stay on the road and you can have a nice chat. You might have to talk up a little bit, but that's a nice thing to do. So kindness is really important right now. Anything you can do to be kind, if you can deliver groceries for somebody, if you can use your technology to call people or video chat people with more frequency now, anything you can do to spread kindness and love is a really good thing right now. And on that note, I'm going to go. How's that?
Okay.
All right. So I'm gonna do my outro now.
Your outro?
My outro.
Yes, like not an intro, but an outro.
Right. That's a word.
It is?
Yeah.
It really is.
Outro.
Okay.
I don't think you say outro. You don't say outroduction.
Okay.
But you say intro versus outro.
Okay.
This is my outro.
There you go. Go.
You've been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call and talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can. It will be sitting here on my Facebook page at Fran Storch, ND. You can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. This will be broadcast, or if you're listening now, it is being broadcast on April 15th, 2020, at 10 o'clock a.m. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, WHUS.org, and Facebook Live.